All righty, folks, welcome back. Monday edition of JJ After Dark. John Jastrzemski guiding you to the overnight ride here on the Fan, 877-337-6666. One of my favorite days of the year. The aftermath of Selection Sunday. Yes, there is a little extra pep in my step because I'm surprised. My alma mater, Syracuse, the last team in, playing in Dayton on Wednesday. We had to have this guy on the show because he's one of the best in the business. He knows these teams inside and out. Our old friend, the associate head coach at Cal, Coach Tim O'Toole. What's up, Coach? How are you?
JJ, it's great to hear your voice, my friend, and congrats to all those Cuse fans out there.
Yeah, Coach, it's stunning to say the least. And first things first, you were on that staff. You know that program quite well. They had three guys who could put the ball in the bucket this year. Battle, Howard, Brissett. I know it's not a vintage Syracuse team. I know most people are going to make the argument they didn't do enough in the ACC to warrant an NCAA tournament bid. But, Coach, not that I think this team is headed to the Final Four, but a lot of the same critiques that I'm hearing the Monday after Selection Sunday, I heard 2 years ago when people said Syracuse had no business being in the tournament.
Yeah, I think this is amazing because this is what Coach Boeheim does. If you ever underestimate him and what he can do, especially as a coach, you're crazy. And, you know, he goes in with teams that are talented, teams that aren't as talented. And I promise you, no one wants to sit there and say, oh, great, we're playing Coach Boeheim. The guy, you know, arguably has, I don't even know how many wins, but he was number two for a long time. Oh, this is who we get to play in the first round. They're not jumping up and down for joy.
Coach,
no way.
As far as, like, adjustments, right, if you know you're going up against a 2-3 zone like Syracuse or the West Virginia pressing style, I mean, that's got to be a dramatic, dramatic deal to anybody who's coaching against them, right? Because it's something you're not used to seeing. Like, the teams in the ACC now know the 2-3 zone. Teams in the Big 12 are going to be used to West Virginia and their press. But how much of an impact can that defense, that different style, really help that certain team come tournament time?
Well, it really does. And let's just carve up those two different programs, because it's when you think about the Cuse and the zone, and teams have 3 days to really prepare for it. The hardest thing to do in college, and it's hard to explain, is the hardest thing between high school and college is going to be the timing. The hardest thing between college and the pros is the timing. And so you have 3 days to try to prepare for the Cuse, but you're not used to seeing anybody usually as long as they are, as disciplined in their slides. They cover a tremendous amount of ground. And so what happens is when you're playing against them and you're not familiar with it, it throws off your timing and your rhythm is all screwed up. And I do believe that's one of Coach Boeheim's strengths. When teams are, you know, you're attacking them on offense and you're not giving those shooters rhythm to kind of get set, because you're charging out at them, because you have length, you're climbing in their space. Once you get them a little bit nervous, it's lights out, put a fork in it. It's really hard to kind of hit shots against the Cuse. And then if they get you in that mode, then you're starting driving in, and that's just, you know, there's nowhere to go in there either. So it's really tricky, especially on a short turnaround, to try to replicate that, because your scout team in practice might be 6'1", 6'2", 6'4", 6'6", and 6'5". That's not nearly going to do justice to what you're trying to replicate. The same thing when you talk about West Virginia and Coach Huggins, and those guys are pressing 94 feet. That's a different style, too. You got to remember, this time of year, JJ, teams have been grinding this thing out and slugging all year long. A lot of teams, they're on empty, right? They're on fumes. And so now all of a sudden, you're going against these guys who are familiar with picking up 94 feet. They have special quadrants of the court that they're looking to attack you. And you're in for a firefight for 40 minutes. And again, it's hard to replicate that in a very quick turnaround. And so when you're talking about those two teams, they're tough to prepare for.
Coach, even though you're a Northeast guy through and through, now you're coaching in the Pac-12, and this was not a good day for the Pac-12. You have USC on the outside looking in. Arizona State's playing in the first four. UCLA is playing in the first four. Are you surprised with the way this turned out here on Selection Sunday with only three Pac-12 teams?
Yeah, there's no question about it. It's, you know, when you're used to being in these types of conferences, the leagues are good. I don't care. You know, let's think about it. All this RPI stuff and the BPI and these, you know, you're being judged on games that are playing in November and December, right? Because that's when all your non-top is. Then you've got to go slug it out in your league. The fact that USC, like, this is what I just do not understand. USC is really talented, and they've had a pretty darn good year. They're 12-6 in our conference. They're second place, and they lost in the finals. Now, that being said, Arizona State, they were kind of, you know, the wheels were falling off on them toward the end, and they were eighth in our league, and under 500, 8-10. And so they had good. They had two good wins early against Xavier and Kansas, just had to be the number one seed. But if you ask me, USC's resume is stellar. And especially, and we know this because when you're at this time of year, I mean, I was just looking them up on the screen here. And coming into the tournament, they lost to Arizona in the finals. But prior to that, they're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They won 6 of their last 7 games prior to losing Arizona. So they're coming in, you know, relatively with some gas in the tank, playing relatively well with a bunch of guys who are potential pros. That's a team that can make some headway in this tournament. And they got knocked out, and it's like, you know, you're based on, all right, who did they play early? Well, they played Middle Tennessee, and they had other pretty good teams in there. And, you know, you don't have a crystal ball in the beginning when you do all the scheduling, and you don't know how it's all going to turn out. All you can do is the best that you can do. But your league has a lot to do with that. And I'm also shocked that, hey, if you're in Nebraska and you're in the Big Ten, and you go, was it 13-5 in the Big Ten, and you're not in this tournament? That's crazy to me. Absolutely crazy.
Spend a couple minutes with Coach O'Toole, the associate head coach over at California. And, Coach, moving forward now, looking at an Arizona State, then looking at a resume like USC, like you just said, Arizona State, yep. They got in this tournament not because of what they did in your league. They got in because they beat Xavier and they beat Kansas, point blank. That's why they're playing in the NCAA tournament. But when you're a coaching staff, right, how yep. mindful are you guys going into the offseason when you think you have a team – that's probably good enough to make the NCAA tournament. Are you working out things as far as scheduling, saying, man, we got to schedule this team. We got to schedule that team. We want to make sure that our boys are tested not only for their confidence, not only to help them throughout the year, but as far as these metrics, as far as all this stuff that we're looking at come Selection Sunday time. Like, how important for you as a coaching staff is all of that?
See, it's kind of it's 6 1/2 dozen of the other. And what I mean by that is there's some general things that you got to know that, all right, we've got to play some quality games. All right, check that off the list. But the reality, JJ, is you're sitting there with 18 games in your league that you know it's like taking a sledgehammer to your head, right? You go on the road, I don't care where you're going. You think it's going to be easy to play in Tucson or in Tempe. Heck no. You want to go to USC and UCLA and play in Pauly? Those aren't easy games. You want to go to Eugene, Oregon and play the Ducks and go play the Beavers up in Corvallis? Like, winning on the road is really, really hard. I don't care what conference you're in. And you're playing against major, major, you know, high-level guys. So you don't. You have 18 already built-in monsters in your schedule. And I think a lot of times people try to be too smart or it sounds good, like, Well, we have a good team coming back. Or scheduling is done sometimes 2 and 5 years in advance. And so you don't know the team that you're going to have. You just know, hey, we got to look at, like, all right, who's got a pretty good RPI? Who's going to be pretty good back in their league? Da-da-da-da-da. And then you're trying to put the best schedule you know that you possibly can. But to sit there and think there's some logarithm or we're going to be outsmarting the other 350 schools because we need to get these guys because they're going to have great years next year. That's just, you know, I think it's silly. I think people can say, you know, they're going to forecast all this crap, but crazy things happen. And I think you got to do the best job you can getting the schedule. And I, again, I don't even know from our level if you're like, well, we're not that strong this year. You always think you're going to be strong. Now, granted, you might have guys back and things of that nature, but I think people get carried away. I mean, you know going into this thing, you have certain games that you have to get. They've got to be quality games because you're going to need them. You're going to need games on the road that hopefully you can win. But, again, in the Power Conference, you also got 18 just absolutely head-breaking games that you're going to play that do matter. And to minimize that, that's why even, hey, you know, again, I don't follow the numbers that strongly, but in the Big Ten, that's, you know, a powerful conference year in and year out, they've got all really good players and they've got a lot of pros in that league, and that team goes 13-5 in that league and doesn't even get a sniff. It's hard to believe.
Coach, as far as road wins and these neutral site wins, do you think they should carry more weight than, let's say, a team like Oklahoma State, who won all these great games at home in their conference? Like, do you think it should matter more going on the road and beating a good team, maybe not a great team, or beating a team in a neutral site?
Well, yeah, 100%, JJ. I mean, again, I'm going back to when I was the head coach at Fairfield, but the stat back then was all home games. 66% of all games that are played at home are won. And so you know going on the road right off the bat, that number, hey, you, the odds are you're not winning on the road. So when you go win on the road and have quality, it's you're defeating the odds. And I do think even with the neutral sites, like, you know, Washington goes to Kansas, or Kansas City, I should say, and they beat them. And, you know, Washington wasn't expected to do much, and Kansas is number two team in the country. And so that was a heck of a win for Hop and UW, but it didn't seem to have any traction for whatever reason toward the end. And then they'll say, well, because he had a couple of bad losses to teams in your conference, Oregon State, which I think is crazy because I don't think any of the teams in your conference are that bad. And we were bad. Don't get me wrong. We had a tough year. But I think you definitely have to go on the road. You have to go test your mettle. You're going to have good games at home. But that's a sign of a good team. You got to learn to win on the road and win at home, and that usually that determines that you're pretty good.
Coach, Arizona's had all this scandal around their program all year. You thought maybe Sean Miller would be done. You wondered if Aiden was going to play again. Miller comes back. Aiden is an absolute monster in a Pac-12 tournament. Is he the best player in this tournament? And I know he's a freshman. I don't want to compare him to a guy like Brunson, for example, who's at Villanova for 3 or 4 years. But, I mean, Aiden is a guy who's going to be either number one or the number two pick. How impressive was it watching this guy in person?
It's funny you bring that up, JJ, because I don't know, again, how much especially the East Coast gets a chance to see him. But after we played in Tucson last weekend, we were talking on the bus that he might be the best player that we've seen since Shaq and Ewing.
Wow.
As far as dominant and different. And Ewing was the guy that we kept talking about the most. But Patrick didn't have the offensive arsenal. I mean, Patrick, I remember when he was in high school, but especially his freshman year in college, he was so dominant defensively, and he was mean, he was tough, but you weren't scoring in the lane. Like, DeAndre Ayton has that type of presence. He is gigantic. He is strong. He is, but he's also bouncy in there, so it's not like there's a lot of room to operate in the lane against those guys. But he's got a much, much, much better offensive game than Patrick Ewing. That, even now when Patrick was a senior, right? Because he played all 4 years. Yeah, right. They lost to Villanova in 85. So Aiden brings all this to the table. We then thought, all right, well, Shaq, because we were also talking about, have you ever played against or coached guys that were the number one draft picks? And I was like, oh, Elton Brand was the number one. Like, you start remembering, oh, yeah, no, we have played against these guys. And, you know, Fultz last year at Washington. No, Shaq was another one of these guys that, when he was at LSU as a freshman, he was just massive. Like, you can't move him. I mean, what can you do with him? But Ayton was a guy, he could step out really, really good mid-range, 15, 17, I mean, automatic. Great feet like Elijah Wan, a defensive presence, runs the floor. Yeah, no, he's as good as anybody we've seen in a long, long, long time. With that, it has everything. And then, you know, you look at Bagley, had a great year, and, you know, Porter's now playing. But I think Ayton is the best one I've seen in a long, long time.
And, Coach, I know now the modern-day big does a lot of different things than they did 20 or 30 years ago, and I get all that. But Aiden's game, I mean, it just translates. The way he defends, the way he can take the ball on the outside, he's such a physical presence. There's no doubt in my mind this guy's going to be a terrific pro.
It's amazing. Obviously, you got to stay healthy and things of that nature. But again, his footwork and touch reminds you of Elijah Wan. He has a presence of Ewing, a tremendous motor. But this guy is nonstop from start to finish, and he's just a young guy. It's frightening to think how good he can be if he stays healthy. Because the other thing, and you know, you'll hear Sean talk about him, is just what a great, you know, kid and work ethic he has. Because he's bringing it a night in, a night out. And it's kind of a really depressing thing when all of a sudden you look down and he's out there warming up and you realize he's wearing a different jersey than you've got, because it's going to be a long night for you.
Coach O'Toole, the associate head coach at Cal, You think Arizona coach is good enough to cut down the nets and win the national championship this year?
You know, it's funny. I mean, sure, they can. I do think this thing is wide open. I do think the best team that I think is out there is Virginia, right? I'm going on a limb. They're the number one team in the country. But they don't have a lot of weaknesses, right? And so when you start thinking about, all right, how do you try to beat these teams? I think you got to try to pick apart. You know, do they? You know, where are they weak? Do they have depth, or are they You know, are they solely dependent on a few guys? Well, I do think there are a couple of other teams out there that can get them.
Who matches up well, in your opinion, against Virginia? A team that's going to be able to dictate tempo?
You know what? Again, I've got them going to the Final Four. You know, all of a sudden, you know. Coach Krzyzewski used to say this, you know, all the time, especially when I worked for him. But he's like, people have no idea how lucky you have to be in order to get to the Final Four or to win it all.
Oh, there's no doubt, Coach. Think about it. How about Syracuse 2 years ago? They get in miraculously. Michigan State was the team that I picked and many others picked to win a national championship. They lose to Middle Tennessee State. 15-2. Opens the door for Syracuse. Syracuse gets Gonzaga in as an 11 seed, and they only essentially have to beat one of the top three or four seeds in the region. You're absolutely right about that.
Well, and that was Kay's point. Those were the three things. How your seeding does impact this thing. And as you just mentioned, that's a prime example. Referees. So if you're put it this way, if you're from a conference where they call things super, super tight, like the Pac-12, right? Or, you know, and you're a bruising type team, all of a sudden you're in foul trouble all night long. And the other thing, Coach, remember Arinze and Iwaku? You know, all of a sudden Syracuse was great that year, and he rips up his hamstring right before the NCAA tournament starts. And so those three things Kay was adamant about. Hey, you know, the refs that are going to be calling your games, because they're coming from all different parts of the country and they call things differently. The seating that you're in, and then injuries, all these things kind of come into play. And who finally cuts down the nets, they're the ones that are the last ones standing that have a lot of talent. So it'll be interesting to see how this thing plays itself out. But I do think that Virginia, to me, is the team that's kind of been grinding away the whole time. This is what they've been doing over the last few years, so this isn't a shock. And they're just playing at a high level right now.
Coach, you got two teams in the first four out of your conference. Arizona State's against Syracuse. You got the Bonnies against UCLA. I think of Arizona State and Syracuse, I think about the offense versus the defense. How is Syracuse going to slow that Arizona State team down? How is Syracuse going to generate enough offense? And for Bonnies, what would be their key to beat UCLA? You've seen Arizona State. You've seen UCLA. For the two teams here in New York State, what are the key matchups?
So I think, obviously, Arizona State is a team that wants to come down and just run, fire that thing up there as much as possible. They'll play a lot of small ball. They can go, you know, with a four-guard set. They're going to shoot a boatload of threes. Now, the one thing the Cuse has to do is make sure, because they play small, the Cuse is going to have to get all over that offensive glass. And what happens with Arizona State is if you can pound them a little bit, they have a harder time running. And if you can stop them in transition, now all of a sudden they're going to play in the half court, and this will help Syracuse because of their length. Like, that's one thing, those guards, they're crafty, especially in man-to-man, because their offense is based on just passing, moving, dribble drive, ball screens, weave action. But traditionally with the zone, Coach Boeheim's not going to be chasing them all over the place. Keep it in front of you and then use your lane to be able to disrupt their rhythm in the shots. So they got to get back in transition. But one way to do that is to try to pound them on the offensive glass, because then they're going to keep more guys in there, and then you have another chance to score, which gets back to your point about what are other ways that they can generate buckets, but that's definitely one of them. And then for the Bonnies, especially with Adams in their backcourt, they're going to have to do a lot of, and this is what they do. They're going to try to get in as many ball screens as possible, bring in the guys like Thomas Wells and Goleman and Alzinski, you know, the UCLA bigs up high to draw them away from the basket, and then look to go on them. And I think that's going to be their strength. But one of the things, the flip side of that is UCLA is incredibly talented. I mean, Jalen Hand is a freshman that's really good. The kid, Holiday, is a really, really, really tough guard. You know, one thing we were just talking about him tonight, if People don't realize how competitive he is. He started as a freshman, got his position taken because a guy named Lonzo Ball came in. And then this year really kind of went out on a mission like, no. I've learned no one's touching this job for as long as I'm in a UCLA uniform. So the Bonnies going to have to figure a way to stop him because he's really, really good. And then the kid Chris Wilkes is another really dynamic player on the wing. So they're super talented. They're just going to have to try to keep him in a half court and try to pull out those bigs with their screen roll.
Coach, before we let you go, you're the Zen Master. You've seen a bunch of these teams. You have a Final Four?
You know, I did. I don't have it in front of me. I think I had Purdue, I had Duke, I had Virginia, and I had Missouri. I had to get my man Konzo in there.
See, I like that. You mixed it up. You can't just go all chalk with the ones and the twos. So I like that you threw Missouri in there to try to roll the dice a little bit, Coach. That's why I love you.
Well, you know what, JJ? It's one of these things where Zoe's the best, and they're going to be so strong defensively, and we'll see what happens with Porter. You know, he got his feet wet a little bit in the SEC tournament. It didn't go well for him. But you know what? This is another week, and now he's got that under his belt. And if that guy can get hot, you're talking about a guy like Danny Manning. Now, he didn't have a year because he was out all year. But, you know, there was a reason why he was projected the number one, two, or three player in the NBA draft. He's a 6'9 guy that can shoot it, bring the ball up, rebound. I mean, he can do everything. And so, you know, you never know, and you look at that side because that's like a defensive side of the bracket over there. I think crazier things have happened, but those are my guys. Those are the four I had.
The outstanding associate head coach over at Cal, all main man, Coach Tim O'Toole. Coach, we got to do this again. It's always a pleasure having you on. It's good to have you back where you belong in the Northeast, baby. So we got to catch up soon, all right, brother?
We miss all you guys, and anytime you want, JJ. Have a great show, buddy.
Coach, good stuff. The outstanding associate head coach at Cal, Tim O'Toole. 877-337-6666. A lot of juicy stuff there. It's JJ After Dark right here on The Fan.